2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Long day, so have we. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome to The Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. He's Alex Keery. Boy, we're just rolling on through the show tonight. Thanks so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Alex, I don't know what to say. Should we mention that phone number one more time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you want to get a voice message recording to Dr. Matt tomorrow, a question, mental health question of any kind, anything, or even just like a stress-related question or something, look, he's a clinical psychologist, so you might as well ask him the tough questions or even just the ones that you think, I've been struggling with this, or I have a family member who's struggling with this. 575-7668. It's 801 KSL SNOT.
And keep in mind, our intention is to play a clip of you on the air.
Yes.
So we think that would be interesting fun. So if you're, up with that and you think that'd be cool, call us up. You can also email us nightside@ksl.com.
That's right.
Right. Either way, we're looking forward to hearing from you. Alex, we got a text in here at 57500. Am I the only person who had never heard of pickleball until they started announcing pickleball courts are reopening?
Now, listen.
I actually had heard of pickleball, but only in the last 2 years.
Have you ever played it?
No, never.
It's fun. It's
it looks fun.
It's like a tennis. It's like a big table tennis type situation.
It is not a big table. What is that?
Yeah, because you've got paddles. Like the pickleball paddles are like wooden paddles.
Yeah, so
and then it's a wiffle ball. Mm-hmm. That's essentially the pickleball, and then you're on kind of a miniaturized
tennis court. Yeah.
And the rules are semi-similar to volleyball in the sense of having side outs and the server
gets
the point.
Yeah, it's a volley sport, so you get in, you move around. But I think what people like about it is because of the type of ball that you use and the paddles that you use, it doesn't get going too fast. So you still move a lot.
And the court's small enough, too, that you can still get to almost everything.
You can cover it.
Yeah. So it is fun. I would say. And, one of the most popular things right now, if people are getting, sport courts, things like that, poured in their yards, that 30-by-50 size court that can fit a pickleball court and kind of a three-quarter basketball court or, a two-thirds size basketball court, that's, the number one thing people are putting in. Because pickleball is awesome because the whole family can play.
What is this,
a commercial for pickleball? Get out of here. I don't know what we're doing. Head on down to St. George this weekend and play pickleball.
You know what is popular so pickleball is popular at Cottonwood Rec Center, which is the one that I go to, not now, but, before the world ended.
I got you.
But something else that I noticed, and every morning there were at least one or two groups playing. This was volleyball. Have you seen this?
So is this basically –
They they've got some mounts in – some recessed mounts in a couple – of the racquetball courts,
yes,
and they put up a net, and you play a variation of volleyball in a racquetball court.
Right, so that's what I was thinking. It's like a racquetball
court.
So you
play the wall and
walls,
everything.
With the thing.
It looks
interesting.
Really fun.
Looks fun. I'm glad for all those people who are getting out and doing physical things. Good for those people.
I don't know that you can play volleyball right now.
No. The walls are disgusting.
I haven't been there.
The balls are disgusting. Absolutely.
I've
played pickleball during the COVID.
You have?
Yeah. Heck
and you're
yeah.
okay. You survived. You
well, I mean, I licked the actual pickleballs, and I'm okay. I think I'm doing okay still.
So, well, that's
not recommended. It's not recommended.
That's how you inoculate yourself against coronavirus.
It's a herd immunity here. Lick this. All right. So here's the deal. I'm going to get to this portion of the show here, Ethan, and that
is... Yeah, we got to do a little Game of Thrones thing.
Yes.
Here, because so, Prince Charles is gunning for the throne. He's gunning for his mom's crown.
Is this how he's doing
it? This was an episode on Game of Thrones. We've seen this before.
So Prince Charles goes out there and he pleads with the British people because apparently during all this, they have had a lack of people who are going to be able to do the picking of Great Britain's fruits and vegetable crops for this spring.
It's called a harvest.
Is that what they... Hold on, let me write this down. A harvest? Is that what you're saying?
So here's a Prince, new word.
Here's what Prince Charles had to say about doing your part, for free, by the way, in helping out Great Britain's food crisis that could happen unless you help.
At this time of great uncertainty, many of our normal routines and regular patterns of life have been challenged. The food and farming sector is no exception. If we are to harvest British fruit and vegetables this year, we need an army of people to help. Food does not happen by magic.
What?
It all begins with our remarkable farmers and growers.
I found this out this summer. I didn't know that it didn't happen by magic.
Farms.
It didn't happen by magic. Here we're still going.
Oh, sorry.
If the last few weeks have proved anything, it is that food is precious and valued, and it cannot be taken for granted.
And it sells for money.
This is why that great movement of the Second World War, the Land Army, is being rediscovered in the newly created Pick for Britain campaign. In the coming months, many thousands of people will be needed to bring in the crops. It will be hard graft, but is hugely important if we are to avoid the growing crops going to waste.
So the Pick Your Britain campaign they're not asking for volunteers. They're gonna pay people.
Are they
to pay people?
No.
Because they're looking for people who have been furloughed or...
Right, because they're the ones that they know aren't working.
So come work for free?
From what I understand, that's exactly what it is. And they're asked... I mean, the whole idea was basically just, hey, look, Pick for Britain, and it just is like, we need you because we need the...
It's going to be absolutely... I just found out that fruit is eaten by other people, not just me.
Food is important.
Food is something that other people... I found out that fruit doesn't just fall out of the sky into my servant's arms.
It's important.
What was that, Ethan?
It's important.
Food is important.
It was tweeted out by Clarence House, by the way, one of his many properties where he... in the background is a massive... garden, a beautiful, massive garden.
Yeah, totally manicured by other people.
It's amazing.
So here's the deal, though, Alex. So what? You know what? Maybe they just have...
Take on the unglamorous task of picking fruit and vegetables to help farmers. This is not
a paid
situation, bro.
Maybe they're asking people who are... Because if you've been laid off, I don't know what the benefits are like if you've been laid off in Great Britain. Maybe they're better than here in the United States. But I know here in the United States, no one in the political world in the United States could ever look any American in the eye and say, hey, sorry you lost your job. Come work for us for free. They would never, ever get away with that. But maybe there's a situation where the benefits that they have available to the unemployed – given this as an option.
Oh, I would love to do it if I had, like, honestly, I it would be cool, except for the ones I don't. Can I choose the ones that I pick? Because I don't want to bend over to pick anything. Like, I don't want to do the lettuce. You know what I mean? That's going to hurt my back. I want like kind of stuff that I can just walk past, maybe eat a couple pieces while I'm there.
What if your king asks you?
Oh.
To cut the lettuce. What if your king comes to you and says,
the UK government has previously...
Food is so important.
I don't know if you knew this, but every time a bell rings, I eat another peach. So if you could keep picking, that would be glamorous.
Alex, you are 6.5 full. Britain needs you to get down as low to the ground as possible.
We got to take a break, but the prince...
At this time of great uncertainty, many of our normal routines and regular patterns of life are being challenged. The Shut food up. And farming sector is no exception.
There's no exception.
My new impersonation is Prince Charles.
Alex. The food and vegetables sector is no different. Apparently, legumes come from the ground.
All right, taking the break. We got news, traffic, and weather. When we come back, would you pick vegetables for the crown? The answer is no, Ethan. Sorry.
You're king.
Oh, sorry. When we come back, we've got more to go. Now it's up to 4 semis blown over near Wendover. Holy cow. When we come back, we've got more to go. Our second hour of the program, including a quiz on the ages of celebrities for Ethan. Plus, Tom Cruise made his way into the rundown. I don't approve of this, but we'll have to talk about it next on the Nightside Project. Stay with us.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.